This is Dial as Saint, introducing St. Thomas More.
Statesmen and politicians who look for a role model in their work will find no better example than Thomas More of England. Thomas was born in the year 1478. When he was 13, his father, who was himself a lawyer and judge, placed him in the household of the Archbishop of Canterbury, who recognized his intelligence and talents and later sent him to study at Oxford University. The ideas of the Renaissance were popular in England, which led his father to fear they could easily distract his son from serious study. Thomas was given only enough spending money to cover his necessities, which left nothing for his personal expenses. Even though the young student grumbled, he admitted later that this kept him out of trouble and helped to keep him focused on his studies, in which he excelled.
He entered law school, graduated in 1501, and then in 1504 entered Parliament at the age of 26. Ahead of him lay a promising career in private law practice, a busy personal life as a law school lecturer, a public orator who was very much in demand, and a personal friend with some of the best thinkers in Europe. He also enjoyed writing. His book, Utopia, is widely read today, and he left an unfinished historical work which studied the life of King Richard III.
Thomas was deeply religious and attended Mass daily. He fasted, did penances, and as a private mortification, wore a rough shirt of hair against his skin for 40 years, from the time he was about 18 until the day before he was executed. His home reflected his personal life. Each night he, his wife, the four children and servants met together for reading and discussion of the scriptures, followed by night prayers. He was concerned about the poor and often walked to the homes of the needy to visit and offer assistance. His neighbors could often be found in his home for supper, as well as his colleagues from London or the continent.
King Henry VII died in 1509. His successor, Henry VIII, knew Thomas to be a man of character and honesty, as well as a good companion in conversation. He tried to persuade Thomas to give up his law practice and accept a political court appointment. More out of duty than for desire for personal wealth, Thomas reluctantly agreed, and in 1529 accepted the position of Lord Chancellor. Cardinal Wolsey, who had previously held the job but had fallen out of favor with the king, admitted that Thomas was clearly the best choice. But Thomas viewed his relationship with King Henry VIII realistically when he said, "I have no reason to be proud in this job, because if my head would win the king a castle in France, it should not fail to come off."
Thomas accepted the new position with the condition that he not be involved in the growing religious dispute between the Pope and Henry, who wanted to get a divorce from his wife so he could marry Anne Boleyn, his latest girlfriend. When the king agreed to this, Thomas accepted the job. It was said that as Lord Chancellor, Thomas made a lasting reputation by administering justice, tempered with mercy and humor. He became widely known as both a good judge and a true friend of the poor.
Problems began when the Pope refused to grant Henry the divorce. The king passed a decree naming himself as protector and supreme head of the Church of England. Then he declared his present marriage invalid so he could marry Anne Boleyn. Finally, he took for himself the incomes of all the bishops in the country. Thomas openly opposed this decree and felt he had no other choice but to resign from the post which he had held for only 3 years. The king was not pleased. Without his salary, Thomas had little money, but jokingly told his family that they all might have to go out begging with him for food.
Pressure from Anne Boleyn, the king's new wife, and from Oliver Cromwell, the king's advisor, required Thomas to not only take an oath to recognize Anne Boleyn's children as rightful heirs to the throne, but to deny that the Pope had any jurisdiction in England. Thomas refused, and so was confined in the Tower of London. His land and property was confiscated, and his family was reduced to poverty. His wife was even forced to sell some of her clothes in order to pay the bills. During his 15-month confinement, he was allowed to see his family, particularly his favorite daughter Margaret, and also certain visitors in the hopes they would persuade him to change his mind. When this failed, his freedom to have visitors was taken away, and he spent his time in prayer and writing the Dialogue of Comfort against tribulation.
The king, wanting to quiet all opposition to his takeover of the church, enacted new laws called the Acts of Supremacy. Now it became an act of treason punishable by death to say that the king was not the supreme head of the Church of England. Thomas was charged falsely that he spoke out against these acts, and so was condemned to death. Before the court, he answered that a small part of Christ's church could not make a law which disagreed with the Catholic faith, just as the city of London could not pass a law to be binding upon the entire country. He concluded in thanking the judges whom he knew, and said that he hoped they would all meet with him in heaven merrily to their everlasting salvation.
The day before his execution, he sent his hair shirt to his daughter and received a note from the king, who, fearing his powers of persuasion, asked that he not talk for a long time before he was beheaded. Thomas replied that the king had taught him that he should look first to God, and then after God, the king. He concluded, "I die the king's good servant, but God's first."
He went calmly, almost lightheartedly, to his death, while it was said there was not a dry eye among the spectators. He encouraged the headsman who knelt for his blessing to do a good job, pulled his beard to one side so it would not be cut by the axe, and so died at the age of 57. As was the custom, his head was placed on a stake on the London Bridge, but was later obtained by his daughter. His body is buried at St. Dunstan's Church in Canterbury.
Winston Churchill had this to say about Thomas More. "He stood forth as the defender of all that was finest in the medieval outlook. He represents to history its universality, its belief in spiritual values, and its intrinsic sense of otherworldliness." Thomas More was declared to be a saint in heaven in 1935.
Thank you for calling Dial the Saint. Recorded stories about Mary, the saints, and other literature is available, as well as free handouts to share with friends. To receive these, you may leave your name and address, but please spell difficult words. Or you may write to Dial a Saint, Post Office Box 228, Vienna, Virginia, 22183. A new saint will be introduced next Sunday. Thank you for calling, and please call again.